Main Street to Wall Street, global business celebrity and former Fortune 100 C-suite executive Jeffrey Haislett takes you inside the good, the bad, and the ugly of businesses today. Saddle up. It's time for All Business with Jeffrey Haislett.
My guest today is a woman who wears many hats, literally and figuratively. Sandra D. Robinson isn't your average Hollywood actor. She's a dynamo, a charisma coach, and a horse-powered leadership coach who's taking the world by storm. From the glitz and glam of the entertainment industry to the wild terrain of leadership development, Sandra D. has conquered it all. Get ready to hear straight from the heart wisdom from Sandra D. Robinson. Sandra, welcome to All Business with Jeffrey Haislett.
Thanks, Jeffrey. I'm so glad I'm here. This is going to be a lot of fun.
It is, and we have a lot of fun because yes. We're going to be talking a little bit about a program that we've got coming up. But I want to delve in, first of all, to this whole charisma coach, okay?
Yeah.
When I was the chief marketing officer at Eastman Kodak and I went on to do Celebrity Apprentice and so much, they started calling me the celebrity CMO. All right?
Yeah.
Got the front page of Forbes and all the magazines. Now, you're called the charisma coach.
Yes.
Why?
Interestingly enough, I actually had my own journey to find what I call my powerful personal presence. Or, you know, I think everybody has a powerful personal presence within them.
Well, especially actors or people that are seen in the media all the time.
Yes.
Or leaders of any kind.
But there's a difference between hiding behind characters like I chose to do and actually stepping out and owning who you are, which is what you do so well. For a lot of people, that they have things that they think they need to be. And so that became a problem when people had to get on video for their business. So in 2010, video was still new, if you can remember.
That was
an exotic new thing, and people were freaked out about it. So they hired me to come in and help them feel comfortable when they started doing their social media, doing video for their business. And that just sort of expanded into helping people, you know, do the same thing from stage and do the same thing in interviews. And then eventually leading a team in person. You know, if they take over a role where they are handling the responsibilities of a team and speaking to them, sometimes they also have in their mind that they think they need to be something that they're not really.
I love that, because what you're saying is you have to be really you.
Yes.
And that's the easiest part. I mean, because as an actress, right, it's easy for you to hide behind a role because you don't have to be yourself.
I counted on that.
Yeah.
Because I was raised with some negative stuff about who I was.
We all have something that's that little voice in the back of our head, and eventually some of us just stop listening to it. You know, I did a long time ago because I just want to be me. It's hard enough being me.
Well, that voice that we hear in the back of our head most of the time isn't our voice. And it's not God's voice. You know, it's not the it's not what you were created to be.
It's an evil mini-me.
It's usually a bully, a mother, a father. It's somebody that meant a lot to you at one point, and it mattered to you when you were a child, and you just sort of carry that voice with you. So I'm the one that gets to disempower that voice for a lot of people and actually introduce them to what you said. It's simple, but simple can be deep.
It's really tough. I mean, if it was simple, everybody would do it.
Yes.
So you need that coach to take you through. You need those lessons. How do you unplug that little voice?
Oh, first of all, realize that it's not yours. You know, it's not about going back and reliving that moment where somebody said something to you that is holding you back. It's not about, you know, it's not therapy in that sense. It's just going, oh, yeah, that's not who I am. So you're not worthy. That's one of the most common things. I mean, for men and women, actually, that it comes down to, I'm not worthy of having this level of success.
Yeah.
And it can pop in at any level of success. Just all of a sudden there's a trigger and it goes off. And I'll say, so is that true? You know, repeat what they remember being said to them. They go, no, that's not true. Mm-hmm. Let's say it again. No, it's not true.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, if you say it enough, something hits and you goes, well, what is true then? Why am I listening to this crap? It's like having the old record skip constantly.
Yeah.
And it just takes you around in the same circle and the same level of success that you're at. And you just break out of that. It's almost like you finally take the exit ramp when you see the sign.
Yeah.
And the sign is, this is who you are.
Yeah.
You know, leave the
And
the
I want you to do
behind.
That at a really high speed with great swagger. I love people.
Sliding to the side.
Exactly. go and do it and be very proud. You know, it's not bragging when it's true, right? So
it's
I want people to do that. And I'm so glad that you're teaching people that, because that's really truly about leadership. I'm going to talk about how horses play into that in a minute.
Yes.
But I want to kind of cover your career a little bit. I mean, you've been on soap operas and movies. Did you ever envision when you first got started, oh, I'm going to be that person that's up there on the big screen?
That's interesting that you asked that question that way, because I didn't think anything else.
Really? You know, so so many people ask me about the journey of like, oh, you're the successful business person and what you do and how you do it, celebrity, you know.
Did you picture it?
I pictured I'd always do something big. I just didn't know what it was. And I was really good at it. And so I just kept doing it. But they said, did you plan it? I never planned it. And I'm sure you didn't really plan it. You just knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming. And I had, I now realize it might have been a lot of naivete.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
It's okay being stupid, okay? It's all right.
Didn't know what I didn't know. So like I showed up at auditions like, all right, I'm here for my role. Like I really did show up. Like you would show up for an interview and go, okay, I'm here for my job. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous when you think about it, and like the reality is they're seeing a lot of people for this role or for that job, but I literally walked in like, okay. And I think it was that determination of like, do you see that I'm perfect for this? Mm-hmm. You know, and it was certainly not an ego thing because I didn't have experience at all when I started. I came up from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to New York City wearing white granny boots in New York City. So that's how
there
right
you go. There you go.
Clueless.
We're not, those are hot now again. Those are hot again.
I hope so. Yeah, I thought they were really great. Yeah. But white in New York City, a clear indication that I was out of my element, you know. But somehow it worked for me and I continued to work. Thank goodness, because with the inhibitions that I had for a long time around showing up and being myself, being a waitress would have been torture for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really had to support myself doing anything other than acting. And so sometimes the paychecks were really great and consistent. And sometimes, you know, I was barely making the rent, but I was happy to do what I was really wanting to do at the time. And so it was great. And the only reason that I wanted to leave was at some point I realized that I couldn't handle somebody handing me a microphone and saying, be yourself.
Yeah.
That was a huge, there was a huge chasm between what people expected me to be when I showed up on a charity event stage, for instance, to raise money for kids. If you handed me a microphone, I couldn't do anything.
But when you talk about that, which I know you and I know how much confidence you exude and who you are and the genuineness
now.
Of you. No, but I, but even, but there's a core of that was there. But I also get the sense that when you say handing you the mic, I almost sense that you're frightened of that.
Oh, I was terrified of it.
Yeah.
I was terrified. I mean, you might as well have had poison on that thing, you know, and strychnine and handed it to me because I did not know what
to
do.
But yet, you were like a star in all these soap operas. You
because
got
I
the
was,
movies. You,
but people
you
told
ended
me,
up marrying a stuntman
well,
for goodness. The dream.
By that point, I had, you know, done the work on myself and I had had enough of my journey. It still continues to this day.
Now you're working on him? That's what
you... No. Well, you know, he's doing his own journey.
Yeah, we all do.
I think just from a lot of it has to do with the work that I do with the horses. He's a part of that because by default, he's my safety manager on the farm, you know? And sometimes he steps in and he goes through the journey and sees what happens with people. And it started to wake up some stuff for him too. And we're very strong in our faith. And I think that journey we're taking together. And so there's a lot of changes since we've been married, both of us, I think in a good way. But yeah, that's in short, you know, how that was. When somebody would hand me a microphone, I'd be absolutely terrified. And when I realized that was going to be a problem for me for the rest of my life, you know, kind of like people that come to me and say, I have to be able to speak in front of people. You know, I have a conference coming up. I've never spoken. This could be something. I want to run away.
Yeah.
And when you want to run away, that's a time. It's a great opportunity knocking on your door to actually take yourself from the inside out to the next level. That's the thrill for me, is to be able to have somebody that has never been on, you know, an interview like this, have them come in and do like a national network interview. And as they walk off, the producer or the director says, wow, you must do this all the time. And it had been their first time.
Wow. Well, speaking about running away, we're going to run to a commercial right now. We'll take a break and we'll be right back after this message.
C-Suite Radio.
We are back. I'm Jeffrey Hazlett with All Business with Jeffrey Hazlett right here on C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV. I'm talking with Sandra D. Robinson. We're talking about charisma and leadership, and now we're going to be talking about horses. That's right. I want to know how this Pittsburgh girl who went to New York wearing those white granny boots, whatever they really are, okay? Because I'm always wearing cowboy boots, so I can see white cowboy boots. How did you get, you know, to starting to work with horses, and how does horses play a part in leadership?
It was a crazy start, as you might guess. I was speaking at a conference, and it was one of those conferences for women in particular. I don't know if they do this all the time, but they had tons of booths. right? Where
yeah,
people
sure.
are selling
they still
stuff.
Do that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I'd spoken in the mornings, in the afternoon, I'm walking around looking at all the different booths, and there's a woman that has a sign up that just kind of attracted me to. And we start talking, and she says, I said something about having horses, and she goes, oh, looks at me as if she's been told from above. She goes, you need to meet my friend Rhonda. And I went, okay. Before I knew it, I'm on a plane going to the middle of nowhere. It's not even on the map in like Missouri.
Was that South Dakota?
Missouri.
No, Missouri. Okay, there we go.
And I said to my husband, if I disappear, here's the longitude and latitude approximately of where you can go.
It's spoken like a real Easterner from Pittsburgh.
I didn't know where
right,
I was going. Okay, so, hey, Pittsburgh to me is Midwest. We'll argue
okay.
about this later, okay? Philadelphia is East. We're like, anyway. So I end up going and I experience what this woman is doing, and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. She's actually rehabbing young people that have been rescued from sex trafficking, and they're coming to her from all over the world. And part of her modality was working with horses.
Yeah.
And so I got to experience and learn from these girls what that meant for them. I mean, they're dealing with, everybody has trauma, right? Sometimes it's a big T, sometimes it's little T. These kids, you know, they were all girls at the time. Yeah. These girls, big T.
Big T.
Big T.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you're going through that without
some
question.
Of them would show up unable to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And the horses, you know, there was something about being around the horses that allowed them to be able to process a lot of the trauma. And they were able to go and have, you know, normal, healthy relationships and understand what that meant, be contribute to society and live fearlessly, which is amazing to me.
Yeah.
And I walked away from there going, I don't know what this means, but it has something to do with me. I just don't know what. It was a good 2 years later before I realized that there was equine-assisted coaching for people. It didn't have to be therapy. So I investigated bringing somebody in to my community and saying, hey, do you ladies in my community like this idea? They loved it. And believe it or not, at some point I said, you know, I think I can do this.
Yeah.
I think maybe I do want to learn how I can facilitate, because I saw things that that current facilitator that I was using was missing in the communication from the horse.
So it's
because
really,
I grew up watching animals since I was like 3 years old trying to figure them out.
And I have horses. And as I've learned with horses, they're very intuitive. I mean, you don't need reins. You can steer them with your knees. You can steer them with your voice. You can do a lot of different things. We'll get into that, which I know you're going to be talking about in the work that you're doing, especially with Trailblazers and our mastermind, which we're going to be doing together.
Yes.
And using horses to be able to help people with leadership and insights to get those huge breakthroughs, and which is big. So horses, like to me, are like dolphins and elephants and certain animals that seem to have this intuitive kind of connection to humans.
Yes.
That they can tell you things and show you things, and they seem to react to people in different ways. Like, I know I have horses that react differently to me than they do to my wife, for instance.
Sure.
You know, in just different ways, just because of who they are as well.
Yeah, and they'll react differently to you on one day when you're feeling a certain way and differently when you're feeling
crappy.
Different.
Yeah. If I'm crappy or I'm mean or not, you know, a grumpy day, they're like, if I'm a grumpy day, they don't want to be near me, right? They know this is not going to be good. So, all right.
They get that energy right away.
Yeah, and unlike my team, they can run farther.
So it's like they're maybe a little faster.
Yeah, well, they're in a field and not trapped in an office. So what attracted you to that? I mean, the feeling of helping people and so forth, but how did you figure out the modality of being able to use that for leadership training?
My brother was a wildlife biologist, and he's 18 years older than me. So I was kind of raised by myself with a mother who didn't want me around. So I did a lot of reading.
Ah, here's that tea coming back.
That's
again,
the tea. Yeah, that's the tea. And so I was by myself, and my brother would send home Ranger Rick magazine, is what it was, right?
Oh my gosh.
Like nature magazines for kids. And so as a little girl, I was just delving into this. I was spending all this time in nature looking at animals and trying to figure out how do they communicate. When I got old enough to read about it, started studying it. So I can literally say I was studying animals and communication in that realm of nature from the age of like 3.5 to 4 and reading about it. I was reading books out loud to people when I was 4. And so I've been looking at this. And so the idea of being able to kind of redefine what intelligence means, because we look at dogs and go, oh, they're smart, because we compare their intelligence to ours.
Yeah.
The thing is, in nature, there's intelligence in so many different levels. There's communication that we can't even hear that goes on with the elephants and the whales.
I know dogs are smarter than many humans, and vice versa. Right?
They play us. Do you ever had a dog that played you? They play us sometimes.
Cats play everybody. Let's just put it that way. So let me ask you a question. You bring these horses in. You're doing them. Let's say we're in a corral,
yeah.
you know, or open, or in a field, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you get to go on a ride? Are we riding these horses?
No, that's the thing. There is a modality, because what I'm certified in is actually a therapy modality. And I use it for coaching and, mm-hmm. and leadership and learning. So, but the fact is there is an aspect of that therapy where riding does take place. I have not incorporated that yet. A couple of the co-facilitators that I work with do that, and you know, in a different location.
That's a different thing.
It's a different thing, and it's usually, you know, when you're dealing with trauma, it's an amazing thing, and it's a little more one-on-one. Yeah. So I don't, and for this reason, I don't incorporate riding for this reason. When I tell people we don't ride, a lot of people look at me and go, "Well, if you don't ride, what do you do with them?"
Right.
And I'm like, "And that's your first reframe."
Yeah.
Like, well, that's because the first time that we're going to switch some things around.
Switch around. I mean, so. As leaders, we're constantly leading people, mm-hmm. and we can do it in a number of ways. We can do it with brute force.
Yes.
I can take a rod, a stick. I can take reins or a rope, and I can pull them along. I can prod them. I can do a lot of
spurs.
Different things.
Spurs.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's something
yeah.
else
yeah.
You don't want to do, okay? And then, but you know, and there are people that do use those things.
Yeah.
But now, it's really truly about how to intuitively connect with a horse, right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, lead them or get them to do what you want to do, but without touching them or pulling them or riding them, right?
You can touch them. We're all about touch. In fact, that brings up a whole lot of stuff in its own, you know, for individuals. But what you said there, when you're like, you can lead with force.
Right.
The first thing that happens when you hop on a horse's back is you assume a dominant, submissive relationship.
Yeah.
Whether you're using the spurs or not.
Yeah.
You're hopping on their back like a mountain lion, like a predator would. They see us as predators. Our eyes are in the front. Their eyes are on the side. I mean, they're just giant.
And most
rabbits.
People don't know. They want to run. When I go and get my horses out in the pasture and I haven't seen them for months, okay, which is the case, the first thing they want to do, they see me, uh-oh, run.
Yeah.
And I have to kind of work them and remind them. You know, who's boss, so to speak, and that I'm here to do something, and they've got a job too, and we need to do this together. So you can do it the hard way, or you can do it the easy way, right?
We look for partnership.
Yeah.
So when we're working with the horses,
love
it's
that.
About getting, and I think it's super great for people that ride. I mean, it's amazing to me. I think it's a lot safer to be able to have a horse that says, okay, as opposed to, you know, forcing them into submission. You know, I think it's a lot easier for people to get on a horse that says, okay, I'm ready for you to get on now, because they understand the relationship that you have. And so when we talk about leading without any lead rope or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's there's a term out there that people know from the natural horsemanship world called joining up, right? Where a horse will finally follow you as a leader, and people go, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Almost like the movie Avatar, where you have to link in with that horse flying whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Same
it's
thing.
Very much like that. But that's just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
See, what people don't understand is even in the horsemanship world, that's just the beginning.
Yeah.
So there's so much more than that. But sometimes something as simple as asking someone to pick up a horse's hoof brings up a lot of stuff for the person. And it can be a huge indicator of how the horse is feeling about that person, because people think, like people like you and I, right? We just think, go pick up the horse's hoof, no big deal.
Unless he doesn't want it up.
And the reason they might not want it up, and people don't know this unless they're really, I mean, I didn't know, and I had a horse for several years before I really put this into perspective, right? It's about taking different perspective. The only escape, the only defense that horse has, as you said, is to run.
Right.
So giving the foot is a big deal.
Yeah. Big trust factor.
That's a big trust factor. And if you are not feeling like you are able to do it, they're going to go, yep, you're right.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You're right. And that is a direct metaphor a lot of times for the stuff that's showing up for that human being in their relationships in their life.
All right, let's take another quick break. You know, there's an old saying, you take a horse to water doesn't mean you're going to be a good employee. No, it's not that one. But we're going to take a break and come right back after this message.
C-Suite Radio.
And we are back. I'm Jeffrey Hazlett with All Business with Jeffrey Hazlett right here on C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV. I'm talking to Sandra D. Robinson, a charisma coach, actress from soap operas and motion pictures, and now doing some equine training around leadership. So let's talk a little bit about how do you uncover traditional leadership but using horses?
Yeah, it's, you know, what's amazing is we'll have people come in that maybe bring their team You know, let's use that. Like, they'll help. They'll say, I really want to work on some team cohesion. We have a new team. There's a lot of restructuring going on. There's a lot of things that are happening in sometimes chaotic world right now, right? And so people are changing the way things are being done. And they said, we've got a new team. And so I'll have people that sometimes will come from all over the world. And they only know each other from Zoom calls. And they all have to work together and understand that they're all serving one.
So bringing in the herd, right?
We bring them into the herd.
This is like all this kind of symbolism is just like being a part of a team, right?
And, absolutely.
And having worked with horses, I know the effectiveness of that. And sometimes you bring different herds together. They don't get along. There's a pecking order. They got to figure stuff out.
They got to figure it out.
I don't even touch them and they got to figure those things out.
Yep.
Sometimes you can't get the horse to go into a trailer. It's not a natural act for a horse.
Right.
So you've got to convince them. And by the way, you can push, shove, do whatever you want. If that horse doesn't want to go in that trailer, it ain't going in.
Right? It's gonna be a long
just
day.
Like if an employee or team member doesn't want to do things.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit.
Yeah.
You and I are going to be doing a program. We're calling it Trailblazers. It's about blazing trails in leadership. And we're going to use horses. We're going to be at a luxury ranch.
Oh, it's so nice.
It's so cool.
It's
talk a little bit about what we're doing there, because it's just going to be fun.
We're going to be in Utah. It is going to be gorgeous. The mountains are surrounding us. It's going to be just fantastic. So it's a great sense of being able to rest, relax, retreat.
Yeah.
And when I say retreat, I'm not talking about retreating in fear. I'm talking about retreating so you can treat your body to a little rest and get clarity of mind. Because what I hear so much from a lot of the people that come, that are the C-suite folks that come and do the workshops with me, is it is a constant go, 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 go. But you almost get biologically, you can get addicted to the chase of the day, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you sit back and you go, wow, where did that go? What just happened? You know, did I make the right decisions? I don't know. Where am I going tomorrow? I'll think about it tomorrow. You're so exhausted, you fall asleep, you wake up the next day, you go, go, go. So this is an opportunity, I think, for people to sit back and really think about clearly what are their strengths? How are they showing up? What are the blind spots? Mm. That's a big part of working with the horses shows you. What are the blind spots? You know, I had a woman that brought in a team, actually. And it's a level playing ground, you know, when we're working with the horses. Everybody, the herd treats everybody the same. They don't care that you're the CEO. They don't care that you're the organizer. They don't care if you're president of the United States.
Right.
You know, they just want to know, who are you right now in this moment? Are you safe? How you're showing up?
And should I join with you? Should I help you? Should I work with you? Or should I run away?
Yeah. Right? Are you safe is all they really want.
So this is, you're going to come in for, we're going to come in for a couple days. We're
going to
have food that's unbelievable.
Yes.
Got, you know, bar, wine. We even got massages,
everything
ATVs if you want to relax.
Yeah.
Go do some fishing down at the pond.
That's
the whole,
right.
All of this is going on.
Yes.
And just for a couple of days. And
yes.
What are you going to be able to take back to your team? Or you could bring your team.
You can bring
your family.
And
by the way, I'm so excited. Sorry about this.
Yeah.
But we're not just doing it once. We're doing it a number of times throughout the year.
Yes.
So if you can't make one, and if you want to do once, you can come back, which we see a lot of people do.
I think it's fantastic to do something like this about every 6 months.
Yeah. So what what are you going to bring back? So I'm going to go.
Yeah.
I'm a CEO. I'm a leader of a company. And I want to do better. And I'm going to learn from horses. What am I going to take back?
I'll tell you, the first thing you're going to discover is whether or not your own idea of self-care is working for you.
Mm.
And that's not a light thing. I mean, that's a pretty serious thing, because that will allow you, and part of what we practice when we're there is how to tap into the moment.
Yeah.
Because if you consider the energy bucket that you have when you wake up in the morning, right? Most of us will spend 80% of that energy in the past thinking about stuff and how it was run, or in the future making a list of the things we need to do.
But not about right there, right then.
Right here is
kind of like when you're on that Zoom call and you're doing email while you're doing
it,
right?
It's so
you can't do that. You're not going to be able to do it here.
It's so tempting.
Yeah.
It's all about, we're going to learn what it is like to be in the present moment. And we're going to just remember, we all know how to do it. We did it as kids.
Yeah.
That's remember, you know, that childlike wonder. We're going to bring some of that back. And it may sound like this is all fluff and stuff, because I'll tell you something, Jeff, I have a confession. When I first started learning about this stuff, I thought, oh, I can't do this. I mean, I'd already started speaking, you know, I was speaking at corporate events and things, and I'm like, I can't, you know, I can't go talk. This is just going to be very woo. You know, it's going to be like, nobody's going to take this seriously, this horse stuff. And then I started experiencing it myself. I started seeing what it was doing for people. And now that I've seen so many people come through this type of program and seeing what light bulbs go on, what they walk away with, like going back and going, wow, I did not give half the people in, you know, in my past a chance to excel. Maybe you fired them. Maybe you didn't even give them, you know, an opportunity at all that would have been right for them if you had seen something differently in them. And so we had that. I was about to say we had a woman that was an organizer came in and I said something very simple. For us, Jeffrey, that have horses, very simple. Go brush your horses and get to know them.
Yeah.
Trim
your horses and get to know them.
That's
right?
A real way to get to know them. But she's standing with her arms folded like this, with this angry look on her face, holding the brush in her hand and glaring at her horse.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's going on? And it, you know, we proceeded to work through what she perceives as the horse not being cooperative. And the thing is, he doesn't like to be touched. I'm not going to bother with this. Well, she had my horse that loves to be loved on, hugged. But you had to prove to him that you were serious.
Yeah.
And so I had her ask in a different way. You know, she took it as a no and was ready to walk away. It's like, no, it's not no. It's why no? Yeah. Why no? And then when she realized how he worked, he was amazing. She was the only one that was able to lead him around through all the obstacles without a single lead rope ever attached to him. He just followed her everywhere. You know, so there's so many lessons that it almost feels, I almost hate to use the word magic, but there is a feeling of that around it. And what you walk back into your corporate or community or family life with, though, is some real understanding of how to be present, how to be, you know, possibly a little more compassionate in your leadership. But if somebody's struggling with something, you know, it's okay to say, hey, you know what, let me show you how to ask for help. And that's what the herd does. That each animal in that herd has a role. A lot of people don't know that.
That's
you know?
Going to be great. So this is fantastic. Unfortunately, we're out of time,
yeah.
But this is going to be great. What a connection with a charisma coach and all the things we're going to do with equine leadership and connected with this Boardroom Cowboy. We're going to have a lot of fun. And it's been great to have you right here on All Business with Jeffrey Hayes on C-Suite Radio and C-Suite TV. At the end of every show, I like to talk about what I learned. And with the charisma coach, Sandra D. Robinson, I learn a lot. First of all, I just love to talk to her because she gives me that energy. And we were talking about our Trailblazer Mastermind. You talk about energy. That's what she's showing me. You can pull energy from the herd, from your team. What you give is what you're going to give back. And that's what we learn if we pay attention and are in the moment. You know, I practice a lot of business in Japan, and we always talked about being centered. Well, when I'm with my horses and when I'm with others who are centered and grounded, not just to the earth, but grounded with each other, so much more can occur. And that's what I learned right here on All Business with Jeffrey Hazlett on C-Suite Radio and C-Suite TV.
You're listening to All Business with Jeffrey Hazlett, brought to you by C-Suite Radio, a podcast network featuring today's top business experts and is part of the C-Suite Network, the world's most trusted network of C-Suite executives. Find this and other business podcasts on c-suiteradio.com. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.